Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week marks 80 years since the start of World War II. On September 1st, 1939, Hitler ordered his German military to invade Poland. Before the war ended in 1945, millions of Poles would die. Last Sunday, Poland marked the anniversary with somber ceremonies and air raid sirens like the ones that blared on that day 80 years ago. Joining us now to talk about Poland's role in the war is Roger Morehouse, author of the new book, First to Fight, The Polish War, 1939. He's at the BBC in London. Roger Morehouse, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much.
So, first of all, what happened on September 1st of 1939?
At dawn on September 1st, 1939, the Germans attacked Poland. An aged German battleship opened fire on the Polish port just outside Danzig in the north of to the north of Poland. And at the same time, a couple of strategic bridges were hit. And pretty soon after, the air raids started and the German troops started pouring over the border.
Was it a surprise attack?
The tensions had been rumbling for much of the summer, but the Poles had sort of done everything they could to shore up their position by, finding foreign alliances with the British and the French, for example. And it had been hoped that that would stave off any sort of German attack. The Poles knew that they were, facing very hostile enemies, actually, on both sides, both the Germans and the Soviets on the other side. So there wouldn't have been, a tremendous surprise. They had their troops in place. It wasn't like a Pearl Harbor in that sense. But the timing certainly and the method of attack was rather shocking, not least because of the brutality that the Germans utilized right from the very outset.
What do you mean by that?
I think we tend, I don't know how the American narrative of World War II goes, which is obviously rather different given that for the Americans, the war starts very, very obviously in 1941. Mm-hmm. But the British narrative of World War II in Europe certainly is one where you could say that we sort of assume that there's this gradual development of this aspect of brutality and ideological warfare, which is something that sort of kicks in really after 1941 with the German invasion of the Soviet Union. But the experience of the September campaign, this invasion of Poland, actually shows us that that's ideologically fueled warfare and the very deliberate targeting of civilians is absolutely front center in 1939 as well. So almost every Polish town and village was affected with random massacres of civilians, massacres of POWs. It's a sort of universal experience in 1939, and that's one thing that I think I found quite shocking in when I was writing the book.
Did the Poles fight back?
Absolutely. The Poles again, the stereotype, which really goes back to essentially to Nazi propaganda of World War II, which tended to try and portray them as sort of foolish, incompetence on horseback, effectively. But the Polish army was actually rather good in general comparative terms to other armies at the time. It was about 1 million men. It had a good number of relatively modern aircraft and relatively modern tanks and so on. The main problem it had was that it was facing the Germans, who were the most sort of technologically advanced military machine on the planet at the time. But yes, they did have a sort of thought out plan, and they tried to resist as best they could. And there are some really quite spectacular and sort of bitter pitched battles in this campaign of 36 days. So they really did fight back. They fought very hard. Yes, absolutely.
Now, as we said, the German invasion of Poland happened on September 1st of 1939, but just days later into September, the Soviets also invaded Poland.
Indeed. And this is something, again, I think the Western narrative, the English-speaking narrative, tends to forget. Stalin is effectively in cahoots with Hitler. He's not in a formal alliance, but he's in a cooperative arrangement, we could say, with Hitler. And this was the first expression of that common cause, was their effectively joint destruction of Poland. So the Red Army invades on the 17th of September. It dresses up its engagement as a sort of, humanitarian operation or a police operation, claiming that Poland had already collapsed and it was just going in to take care of, Belarusian and Ukrainian minorities and so on. But that was really propaganda eyewash. The truth was that was very obviously a military operation, and I show that in the book. So it's an interesting chapter, really, that we, particularly in the English-speaking narrative, don't talk about as much as we should. So I hope I can try and change that.
Now, Poland was home, as we know, to concentration camps like Auschwitz, where many Jews died. Mm. But I just met the other day somebody whose grandparents, Catholics, were in Poland and were in camps during the war. How many people, Poles, Jews and otherwise, were put into concentration camps during the war?
Oh, millions. I mean, I think it's a misconception that concentration camps were just for Jews. You know, it's anyone that the Nazis considered was, you know, in any way suspect or someone undesirable, whether racially or politically, would be put into a concentration camp. The original concentration camps, incidentally, are not for Jews at all. And the same thing with Auschwitz. Even Auschwitz, when it's first established in 1940, is established as a concentration camp for Poles. And it only really evolves into that sort of function that we know so well, that hideous function of extermination later on in its life. So absolutely, there are huge numbers of Gentile Poles are also in the concentration camps on Polish soil and elsewhere. And we have to be careful, of course, with this phrase, you know, this idea of the concentration camps in any way being Polish, because they're not run by Poles. They are inhabited by unfortunate Poles, but they're certainly not run by them.
So Roger Morehouse, as we mark 80 years since the invasion of Poland and the start of World War II in 1939, as you know, President Trump canceled his trip to Poland to stay back as a hurricane was bearing down on the United States. Mm-hmm. But how does World War II resonate in Poland today? What would he have seen if he had gone to Poland for the visit?
It's really front center in Poland's sense of itself, its national identity, its sense of sort of commemoration of its own suffering. Poland has a really sort of fascinating and rich but very, very difficult history, really. Of course, World War II, you've got this massive sort of sacrifice in World War II. 1 in 5 of the population are killed in World War II. They have the highest per capita death toll of any nation in World War II, which is an astonishing fact. So something like between 5 and 6 million people are killed. There's no family in Poland that is unaffected by this sort of thing. You know, they all have this in the locker, as it were. And then, of course, the war finishes and Poland is then, you know, as the quirk of history would have it, it is doomed to 40 years of communism.
Behind the Iron Curtain.
Behind the Iron Curtain until communism falls in 1989. So, you know, as I say, Poland's modern history is not short on horrors, but World War II really sort of caps the lot. It is the biggest horror of all. And it's one that I think the Poles rightly perceive that the outside world doesn't quite understand well enough. I think we all have, you know, our own sort of rather parochial views of history, in where we put our own suffering, our own actions very much to the forefront. And I think it would probably be a good idea for many of us to maybe extend that and try and look a little bit further beyond the horizon. I think really Poland, in terms of the war in Europe, I think Poland's experience is hideously typical. That's the real war in Europe, is one of ethnic cleansing, concentration camps, genocides, targeting of civilians, all of that stuff. That to me is World War II in Europe. And actually the sort of European or the Western European experience, which is a much more chivalrous war, really, it's very much at odds with that. And I think we have to sort of change our perspective somewhat. And I think that chimes with this perennial Polish idea that they think that the outside world doesn't really understand them.
Interesting, though, that today Poland is part of the European Union, along with Germany, and is extremely skeptical of Russia.
Yes. I mean, you know, Poland's found a very welcome home in the European Union, and you can understand, given that history, why they feel so comfortable in the European Union. That's surely obvious. And I mean, importantly, we saw it again at the weekend with the commemorations of the outbreak of the war, that the German president, Mr. Steinmeier, was very voluble in expressing his sense of guilt and all the rest of it for the actions of his forebears and his nation's forebears. And that's very welcome in Poland. But, you know, you look to the other side, there's no contrition on the Russian side for, you know, the actions of their forebears in 1939. As we said, you know, the Soviet Union Red Army invaded Poland as well as an aggressor in 1939. But that doesn't fit the Russian narrative of the war. The Russian narrative of the war still today is one of solely of victimhood. You know, we were the victims after 1941. Interestingly, the only chronology they give for World War II is from 1941 to 45. They don't talk about the earlier 2 years, because that's the period in which they were the aggressors against their neighbours in as I said, cooperation with Hitler. Mm-hmm. So there's a very sort of skewed narrative of the war in modern-day Russia. And that becomes problematical for Poland because, as I say, there's no sense of contrition, there's no apology. If anything, it's the opposite in the Russian case. And that's what explains why Mr. Putin, for example, wasn't invited to those commemorations, is because of that sort of that rather more aggressive shift in the Russian narrative, which we've seen in the last 10 years.
That is Roger Morehouse, who's got a new book out called First to Fight, The Polish War, 1939, Germany Invaded Poland 80 Years Ago This Week. Roger Morehouse, thank you.
My pleasure.
And you can see some photos of the German invasion of Poland at hereandnow.org.